Well, can I just dive in? Did we worship you out, or are you all ready for some word? Oh, that was about 17 of you. Did we worship you out, or are you ready for some word today? Come on. All right, good. Deuteronomy 6 and 3. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. This is a passage of Scripture that is talking about what is referred to throughout the Bible as the promised land. If you're in Texas, it's called the promised land. You drop the D off of it, right? Promised land, San Marcos. This is where God begins to tell Israel. He begins with Abraham, but then he tells Israel, I'm going to take you to a place that you haven't been. I'm going to take you to the promised land. He says this in verse 10 of Deuteronomy 6. The Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. Now, I want you to listen to these. The houses will be richly stocked with goods that you did not produce, and you will draw water from cisterns you did not dig, and you will eat from vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. That's some pretty good promises, wouldn't you say? And I want to talk about that. But before we get to the promises that he has for us, I want to share with you a revelation that the Lord spoke to me several years ago. And he said, John, before you can ever receive what I have for you, you have to believe that you deserve what I have for you. And so many folks, when God is handing out blessings and God is handing out the good things, we don't reach out and receive it because there's a part of us that does not think that we're worthy of receiving it. But the Bible tells us that by his blood, he made us worthy. By the death on the cross, we now get to get what he has for us. You can only receive what you think you deserve. And I read this scripture the other day in Hebrews 11 and 6. It said, it is impossible to please God without faith. I've read that for years and heard people talk about that. But I never really dove into this next part. And anyone who wants to come to him must believe, number one, that God exists. How many believe that? And even if you don't, you're in church tonight, so you're wondering, all right? You have to believe that he exists, but then it goes a step further, and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. God has blessings for you, but you won't receive them until you feel like you deserve them. Look at your favorite neighbor and say to them, you deserve it. Promised land. He is not slack concerning his promises that he has for you and I. He wants great things for us. I mean, look at how he created Eden. This wasn't just a little garden with some tomatoes in it. It was this luscious place where they could have lived forever if they would have wanted to. Look at heaven. The things that he prepares. The first things he created was Eden. And now, then he creates heaven, and heaven is paved with gold. And it has gates of pearl. It's not gates with pearls, that's gates made of one pearl. How big are the oysters in heaven? Are there clams, right? One pearl. This is what he has for you and I. He doesn't want you and I to live just a get-by mentality. He wants you and I to live in more than enough. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The promised land represents all the good things that God wants for us. The best, the blessed, and the rest. Write those down. The best, the blessed, and the rest. The best, John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Do you notice how the enemy's mission statement is diametrically opposed to Jesus' mission statement? He's come to do what? Steal? Jesus, wait a minute, y'all got ahead of me. I just said one. He came to steal. Jesus said, I've come that you may have. He came to kill. You like that, didn't you, Robin? He came to kill. He said, I've come that you may have life. He came to destroy. He said, I came that you may have life more abundantly. God wants the best for his kids. The enemy wants the worst. And I find as a pastor that a lot of times people just have a get by mentality, and they'll ask things like, can I do this and get by? Do I have to do this to get to heaven? Do I have to? I mean, Jesus Christ purchased everything for you and I, abundant life. He didn't die so you and I could just get out of hell and into heaven. He died so that we could live abundant life starting right here, right now. I'm from Mississippi, and we would say right chair, right now. Several different translations say it different ways. I want them to bring this on the screen. Abundant life. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. New Living Translation. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I came so you can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Doesn't that sound like a good life? That's the kind of life that I think I want to live. And he wants that for you, the promised land. He wants us to have the best life. Look at what Hebrews 8 and 6 says. But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates for us a better covenant with God based on better promises. Everybody say better. When Jesus established a new covenant, it was with better promises. Listen, if I took you out to the parking lot right now and I said, you can have a good car or a better car. Which one are you picking? If I could say you could have a good spouse or a better spouse, that may get us in trouble. Let's just leave that one alone. Have a good job or a better job? What are you picking? Then why in our walk with the Lord and even in church and even in kingdom that we sometimes just settle for good because we feel like, well, that's what he gave me. No, he came that you and I can have better, to have more. And this is what I feel for Promised Land. And Randy and I are overseers here. And I just want to speak a word, and I'm honored to be that, Robin. But I just want to speak a word into the DNA of this church. Yes, this is called the Promised Land, but you have not even stepped into all that God has for you. I believe that. I love that he used the word mediator. You know what a mediator does? They work out the details. Jesus, as a mediator, worked out all the details for us to have the best life. The Promised Land is symbolic of the life that Christ has for us, the best life. And then the Promised Land celebrates the blessed life. Ephesians 1 and 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. You see, the word blessed is not just good. The word blessed is not just a reward for your good deeds and your good work. The Bible says it is a law that you will reap what you sow, right? So if you work hard, if you are diligent, you are going to reap that. This is not what blessed means. Blessed means more than you deserve, more than you worked for. If you're taking notes, blessed means more than you can attain. He said, it's a land with large, prosperous cities you didn't build. houses that will be richly stocked with goods you didn't produce. You will draw a well from waters you did not dig. You will eat from vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. All will go well with you. You will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey. This is not just getting a paycheck. This is above and beyond. This is blessed life. This is something you don't deserve, but he gives it to us anyway. This is something you couldn't work hard enough. You could not attain it. But also the blessed life means this. It's more than you can contain as well. He said it's flowing with milk and honey. I remember Randy and Dan used to talk about that. That sounds kind of sticky, doesn't it? Just flowing with milk and honey. What does that represent? It represents a more than enough mindset. See, in those days, not everybody had access to milk. Now you can roll into any store, even a service station, and you can buy milk. 2% milk, lactate free, oat milk, almond milk. Right? You can just buy it all. In those days, not everybody had livestock, and so milk was a big deal if you got milk. And honey, people would go their entire life and not taste honey. Have you ever thought about how hard it was back then to get honey? Because where did honey come from? Bees. So honey was a valuable, precious commodity. And he said, I'm going to bring you into a promised land that is blessed with milk and honey that is flowing more than enough. And I can hear some of you right now going, well, is this like a prosperity doctrine? No, understand this. God never blesses us for us. God never gives me more than enough so I can just hoard more than enough. He always blesses me so I can be a blessing to someone else. And on the last day, John 7:37, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So much in us that it overflows. What if you and I could get a mindset of living such a more than enough, best, blessed life that everywhere we went, it was just bubbling out of us? Everywhere we went, there was just a river of living water. When you walked out of the bank, they would go, I feel different every time she shows up. That there would be so much fruit in our life that people wouldn't have to look for it. Very easily they could pick the low-hanging fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, and faith. This is the kind of life that he wants you and I to live. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus was referencing the Holy Spirit. God wants you and I believe this with all of my heart, I've been convicted about it even more lately, that God wants you and I to experience an overflowing portion of the Holy Spirit in our life. And I got the charismatic Pentecostals clapping. But I'm not just talking about in church. I'm talking about in our car and with our kids and in the job. Overflowing. Now look at your second favorite neighbor and say to them, he's talking to you. About me. I know I can't make y'all laugh as loud as the fact that Kevin Hart was here last night. That was amazing. And then finally, the rest. The promised land represents the best, the blessed, and the rest. Hebrews 4 and 9. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. One of the prophetic things that I feel for you guys is that you have worked really hard and you have had to labor. You have had to toil. I believe you're entering into a season now that God is going to hand things to you. That things are going to come a lot easier. That's it. More. Listen, that word rest doesn't mean we don't work. Right? Adam and Eve still had to tend the garden. But what that word rest means is there's no toil in our work. It didn't cause blisters, the sweat of the brow, the stress. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Plus, I want you to be a co-laborer with me. So we're going to be working in this thing together and with each other. So it doesn't mean we don't work. It just means we whistle while we work instead of worrying while we work. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth. Look at this. Without painful toil for it. The rest. Isn't that a beautiful word? Just whisper it with me. Rest. How many could use some right now? Yeah, could you bring it on down, Ragsdale? Nuh-uh, because I'm blaming on all the singing that went on. However, the best, the blessed, and the rest, there is a caveat to it. And it starts back in our text, Deuteronomy 6 and 3. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. So listen and obey. Remember, James said it, hear and do. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. This is the word I really feel for this church today. Receiving the promises of God are predicated on two things, belief and obedience. You can't just believe. You have to obey. Matter of fact, if you're just a believer, that's great. But if you're just a believer, that puts you on the same authority level as the demons. Because the Bible says the demons believe and tremble. What turns it to walking in blessing is when I go from being a believer to being a follower. And a follower is someone that says, I don't just believe, I believe enough to trust that I'm going to take a step. I believe this next season for Promised Land, and I believe, I'm saying over the hills in Nashville, Tennessee, and all the other pastors here, I believe that this next season, God wants to do so much, but it's going to require our faith expanded and our expanded obedience as well. He said, the Lord God, the original Promised Land was actually not given to Israel, it was given to Abram. And this is what it says, bring this up for me, Genesis 12 and 1. The Lord said to Abram, go from your father, your country, and your people, and your father's household to the Lord, to the land I will show you. So leave that up for me. He said to Abram, I got a land for you. It's a promised land, milk and honey, but it's going to require this. Go. Leave. Everything you know, the security, the comfort. And when I read this, I told the Lord, I do not want to preach this. Because I know if I preach it, I got to do it. Sometimes it's an amen, sometimes it's an uh-oh, right? I believe this next season is going to require some of us to believe enough to leave. Where you are, have you gotten comfortable? And some of you right now are going, I've been feeling that. And God's getting pulling on you and bringing you into a deeper relationship with him. And that's going to require you to leave some people you've been hanging around with. Make some decisions that you would not have normally made. This next season we're going to enter into is a season that's going to require more faith and more obedience. You know why? Because the promised land represents bigger boundaries. Look at Joshua 3 and 15. Joshua 3:15 says, "Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest." This is when they're about to enter into the promised land. And it was harvest season, and the Jordan was at flood stage. The boundary to your blessing is biggest at harvest time. I'm going to say that again. The boundary to our blessings are biggest during harvest time. I found in my life that God always asks me to cross over when it's the hardest time to cross over. Have you ever had the Lord speak to you and man, said, "Lord, if you would have just spoke that to me 6 months ago when my bank account was here"? No, because there needs to be a miracle attached to it, and that miracle requires our faith and our obedience. The promised land represents bigger boundaries. It also represents bigger battles. The giants were huge. Matter of fact, Israel turned around and ran away from them because they were so scared, but they forgot that our God does not just fight with us, He fights for us. Somebody needs to hear that right now. He doesn't just fight alongside you. He will fight the battle for you. Deuteronomy 6:18, "Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so all will go well with you. Then you will enter and occupy the good land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors. You will drive out all the enemies living in the land just as the Lord said you would." Yes, we're going to see battles like we've never seen, but we're also going to see victories like we have never seen. Boy, I wish I had a B3 organ up here. We would go. I don't always get to preach this way in Nashville, all right? I love this. My wife said this one time. She said, "The battle is the Lord's, but He shares the victory with us." I love that y'all went, "Aw." And if you met my wife, you would say, "Aw." But here's what I'm going to say, and I'm bringing this in for a landing. I want to say this. The only issue with God fighting for us is He doesn't always fight like we do. And He doesn't always fight like we want Him to. Deuteronomy 7. "No, do not be afraid of these nations, for the Lord your God is among you, and He is a great and awesome God." Everybody say, "Yeah." Yeah. But here comes verse 22. "The Lord your God will drive out those nations out ahead of you." Everybody say, "Yeah." Yeah. Little by little. He will not clear them away all at once. Otherwise, the wild animals would multiply too quickly for you. We can't have it all at once because we can't handle it all at once. God will drive them out, but He will not make them immediately disappear. Them leaving Egypt happened like that, but it took time for them to finally get to the promised land because God knew that it's the smaller battles that get you ready for bigger battles. And just remember, the inhabitants of the land are tending your house for you. There's someone right now that is getting something ready for you if you will just stay faithful. Come play. Are you right there? Good. It scared me just a minute. Give me some sweet, spiritual, emotional, nothing spooky. Don't want spooky. By the way, this band is incredible. Goodness. Worship has been so amazing. Promised land brings bigger boundaries, bigger battles, but thank God it also brings bigger blessings. This is what I feel to speak over this house. I don't believe that 7 acres is by chance. God loves that number. You're not going to just see manna miracles. Remember those when God would give them manna? And that was great. It sustained them. But God has more for us than manna miracles. God has flowing milk and honey. God wants his kids to have treats. Come on. Some ice cream. Some honey. Promised Land represents all that God wants for you. And I'm talking to you. Look at me. Watching online. Right here. I wish I could take your precious San Marcos face in my hands and let you smell this Altoid breath that I have. And me to look in your sweet eyes and say, he wants this for you. You do not have to live a less than life. You don't have to live in a poverty mindset. He wants more for you than you want for yourself. He wants you to have the best, the blessed, and the rest. So now, it's our turn. Because for me to receive these promises, it requires me to believe, one, I can have them, that his blood makes me worthy, and number two, to obey. And now this is where you begin to preach the sermon. You take the mic from me, and you bring the message home. Because this is where you have to decide, what is that thing that he's asking me to obey on? What is that step? Randy Phillips is a great communicator. And one thing Randy taught me about preaching, I still don't do it well, but he taught me to start with the why. And he would always say, I prepare my sermons from the end to the beginning. Because I wanted people to leave with, okay, what? Now what? So I don't want us to just have this, he wants more for me, blessing, and never take the step to get to the blessing. It was when the priests put their feet in the water of the raging Jordan that the miracle happened. I've got some things in my life right now that God's asking me to do that I don't necessarily want to do, don't feel equipped to do. But this entire week, as I prepared for this message, it's been God speaking back to me. So what is that for you? And again, you're watching online. I don't know where you are, at home, in a hotel. If you're in Nashville, maybe a tour bus. Where are you? What is God speaking to you now? For some of you, it's going to be forgiving someone. For others, it's going to be asking forgiveness of some. For some of you, it's going to be getting rid of some subscriptions or taking a contact out of your phone. You won't text them at 2 a.m. if you don't have their number in there. Because you know you don't remember your kid's number. And it's this simple step of, okay, what am I willing to do to receive what God has for me? For some of you, it's going to be writing a check. Yay for the 7 acres. Yeah. You know what that's going to take? Listening and obeying. And as Pastor Robin begins to set the vision and cast the vision for the next 20 years in this church, I want you to remember this word that God spoke over us. He wants the best for you. But it's going to require you and I to move out in obedience. Come on, if you receive this word tonight, just say amen. Let's stand. I want to pray for you. I asked Pastor Robin when we wanted to close. And man, I'm doing good. You don't have to be... Young pastors and preachers, listen to this. You don't have to be good if you're not long. take a moment right here where you are, and we do this almost every Sunday in our church in Nashville, Tennessee. I want you to close your eyes right where you are, and I want you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. What is your next step? And maybe you don't need all the time. Maybe you already know. Holy Spirit, speak. We want what you want in our life. We want to be fruitful and faithful. Thank you for 20 years and what it represents. It's a big deal. Who does anything for 20 years anymore? This is a big deal. And we thank you for it. But I'm proclaiming and prophesying that it is just a foundation for what's next. And that you are not done with this area. And Lord, our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren are going to receive the blessings from this place. Now open your eyes and look at me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer today, and I'm believing that some of you showed up tonight, and because it wasn't a Sunday, you said, I'll go to church. But you've never made that big step to receive the Lord as your Savior. What a better way than on a 20-year anniversary to make a confession of faith. And the Bible says this, if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. There are some other steps after that, but that's the biggest step you're going to make. And I would love to lead you in that prayer. And I want it to be for those of you that not those that are not just praying for salvation, but those of you that a moment ago you felt the Holy Spirit say, this is what you need to do. And it may be a simple act, it may be a big act. But right now, would you just make a commitment right here in this place that you're going to be obedient to what He's spoken to you? If you will, just raise your right hand up high. Come on, your right hand, bud. That's your left hand. There we go. Right hand up. All right? I want you to repeat this after me online. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Today I confess that I need you in my life, that you are the Lord, and I want you to be my Lord. And I make a commitment to obey, to make a step. I want to live with you forever, but I want to start right now living the best, the blessed, and the rest. In Jesus' name. Come on, would you just celebrate with these folks that just prayed this prayer?